Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com and the WKWX app. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. Kendall is out today repairing backs.
Yeah, he's in the repair business.
Yeah, he's in the repair business. And but anyway, he's with us in spirit, so he'll be back next week. We kind of rode him pretty hard about not showing up the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, there's snowflakes and then there are rocks.
Yep.
And he's somewhere.
Are we the rock?
Well, we've been accused of that. Dumb as rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Big game last night. Before we get to that, though, I got a really nice text message. This morning, I just heard my phone vibrate, woke me up, from Charlie Mars, and said some really kind words about the broadcast and some of the things we do when we go to these games, and his appreciation. He wasn't able to be there, so he listened and watched, and appreciate Charlie. He listens every sporting event we have here. He's wanting to talk about it when I see him, or ask me a question about the game that's coming up, and he's either there or with us on the radio. And it's Rosa's birthday today, so happy birthday to Rosa.
Yeah,
old Rosie. It's always good to get older.
Well, I don't really have the nerve to re-listen to one of our broadcasts. I don't want to hear it. You know?
Well, I do. I kind of go through it just to see if where all my mistakes are.
Oh, I
make them. Oh, yeah, all the time. And then Kurt did something last night that we discussed that we haven't done in years. We were hungry and we stopped at Crystal's and got some gut bombs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
I don't know about yours. Mine has some force behind it. It has some explosion.
Yeah, well, you've always had a little trouble with food.
Well,
you have a very sensitive system.
I'm very sensitive palate. But
yeah, that was good. That was
I hadn't done that in 35, 40. It might have been 40 years.
Yeah, and I think that Crystal has been there for 35, 40 years.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's been there longer than that. It was over there when I was at Union.
That's right. That was before 35.
That was before 35 years, exactly. Yeah.
That'll tell you something.
Yeah, that was the place to go to after midnight.
Yeah, well, I was always studying when I was in Jackson.
Yeah, well, I studied before.
In the morning.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that was a fun trip home last night. It actually was a fun trip home last night. That's some of the good part about going on the road is ride home.
Yeah, especially it's not as much fun when you leave.
No.
And then we get to talk all the way home about how did that happen?
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't have to talk about it last night as the Tigers defeated Northside 38-7 over in Jackson. The Tigers improved to 5-0 on the season, regular season, 2-0 now in the region. And coming up, we'll talk to Coach Smith. He'll be in just a few minutes. We'll talk about last night's game. Also, a big week coming up for the Tigers. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. We'll have scores from last night around the region, and the SEC schedule, big full SEC schedule, some good games today, and then our game this afternoon at 6, and Kirk will talk a little bit about that, UT and Florida. But Kirk, last night we go on the road. It's the game of the week. Everybody, for some reason, was there, three radio stations there, two others besides ours, and you could tell that Northside was really excited and had some energy in the beginning of that ball game. They really felt, hey, we got a good opportunity here.
And we had no idea. You know, they've got a new coach that he was like interim last year. I think that's what you said. This year he got the head coaching job. And so we didn't really know what to expect. You bring in a new coach, you can kind of throw some of the history out because you don't, you know, if he's great, you're going to get an improvement and vice versa. So I didn't really know what was we were going to expect. And one thing that we didn't touch on last night that a lot of people hear, I don't know if they realize it or not, but, it, you know, bringing Jackson Central Mary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had not had a football program, you know, for several years. And they started their program back up, I think, the last year or two. And that spreads the wealth thinner, you know, in Jackson as far as talented athletes. And I think they can move from schools to others pretty easily within Jackson. So Northside probably doesn't have as much of a talent pool to pick from, you know, as they would have without the Jackson Central Mary being back in the football game.
Well, and that's a good point, because I was sitting here thinking about Southside as well. Southside, you know, when they came into our region, we split with them, I think, the first couple of years. They had a really good team. JCM comes in. They start getting players over there. People start, like you said, moving around. And the thing about living in a county and a city like that, there's multiple places to go, and it makes it tough for one program to really dominate unless you're in the private school part of it.
And they have a bunch of that, too.
They have that.
That spreads it thin, too. So, I mean, Jackson has an unusual number of schools available, private and public. So, I think everything – that's like Liberty. You remember Liberty went to the state and made a few changes, and – pool got thinned down, and now Liberty just struggles.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that too with Coach Smith. I mean, they were on top of their game, like you said, went to a state championship. Coach leaves in the middle of the summer, and then it's just imploded from that point on. I mean, it's crazy.
Different. We don't know how to work that water because
we hadn't had to.
Yeah, you know, we've got one.
yeah, exactly.
It's not hard for us to know where you're going to play and who's going to play there.
But they had some talent last night. They had some kids that could play, and they just kind of run into a buzzsaw last night. I don't think they were expecting what they got.
Well, that's one of the things I want to ask Coach Smith about today is last year I thought our schedule was weak. The teams that were on the schedule last year were weaker than usual. Some of your conference opponents I thought were weak. And we didn't really get pushed, you know, much until the playoff time. And just one or two games within the season that we got pushed at all. And so I want to kind of get his insight on what he thinks about the teams that we've played so far and in comparison to those last year.
All right, we'll do that here in just a few minutes. Coach Matthew Smith will step in. We'll talk to him about last night's game. And then a little bit later on, what's ahead. It'll be homecoming week, so a big week for Hardin County High School. And a new opponent coming to town, one that we haven't played ever. And so
we're saying that a lot this year.
Yeah, we're saying that a lot this year. We haven't played ever, don't have a lot of history with. But the background is that they're – a very good football team, or they were last year anyway. We didn't get to play them last year, but we'll talk more about that. That's coming up right here on Sports Talk. Don't go anywhere. Coach Matthew Smith joins us, and we'll talk some Tiger football when we return right after this timeout. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday morning. A little cloudy outside, but it's not hot. It's nice. It's been nice all week. Temperatures in the 70s. Nice last night over at Northside. And we talked about, a big game. And the game of the week, Matthew, and we go over there in a territory that we're very, very familiar with. And in the pregame last night, we kind of discussed the history between Northside and Hardin County. It dates back a long time, probably not as long as Lexington, but it's been a game that in past years, that was a tough, hard fought, a lot of times low scoring, physical. A lot of great players have played in this game for both teams, and you just never know in what you're going to get. And then when you go over there, it just seems like they play harder. And we were also discussing the fact that we've been fortunate to catch them in game one or game two. This year, you know, we're in the mid-season. It was always better to catch them early because they seem as probably mid-season to get better and better toward the end of the season.
Well, you know, Northside traditionally has had a good program in West Tennessee. They've won a lot of football games. I remember, you know, back when Coach Val was there, who's at Trenton Peabody now, they were very good, went to semifinals and deep runs in the playoffs, and had a really good program, and have always had great athletes over there. And, you know, I was thinking about it this week. You know, you talk about McNary and Adamsville and those schools as far as rivalries. Every year that I've been involved at Hardin County as either a player or a coach, we played Jackson Northside. Obviously, I've played Lexington as well. So, and there's been times that McNary Adamsville have not been on the schedule, but Jackson Northside, Lexington have been on the schedule.
They've been a constant.
It's been a constant on the schedule, and it's always been a, you know, great game, and we've had some big time games over the years.
Well, that was evident too, because they've been out of the region for a while. We've kind of gone back and forth with them being in the district region and being out. They were on the other side, but you had a good enough relationship with their coaching staff, previous coaching staff, that they kept us on their schedule.
Yeah, you know, still same classification. They were in 4A as well, but they had moved to that district with Haywood, Obine, those schools over there further west. And, you know, we'd played, and they'd been in the district that last cycle, so we decided to keep them on the schedule, because you're always hunting for games. And, you know, it's just been a good matchup over the years.
Well, there's one thing that I wanted to touch on and just get your opinion. Well, last year, you could see, and you could see the teams that we played were not very good. Some traditionally decent teams that were having down years. And their record proved that out at the end of the year. They didn't really have that strong of a record. This year, putting Giles County, South Gibson, you've got Pure Northside. Are we really good? Or are the teams that we're playing, like last year, maybe not as strong as they traditionally are?
Now, you can't reverse your course, Kirk. You talked about how tough the schedule was week one, yeah. So don't come in
well,
here
Well, and that's why I'm asking this question. Are we that good? I mean, are we playing teams? I know South Gibson, Giles County have a good program. I know Northside does. And traditionally they've always been – but you're run-ruling these teams. I mean – you're putting
our program is just trying to get a little bit better every week. That's what we try to do, and try to make some improvements. And I do think we have a good group of kids. We got an experienced group that's played a lot of football for us. And you know, and that's what we talk about all the time. We're just trying to improve a little bit each and every week. You know, with the teams on our schedule, you know, Northside last year when we played them week one. They had lost their coach. Coach had gotten let go that week. So, I mean, that's obviously a tough thing for any program to go right through. But, you know, those kids and Coach Powell had done a good job. He'd been there 3 or 4 years at Northside, been in the playoffs, won some playoff games at Northside, and done a good job for him. Well, there was an incident over there, and he got let go the week of our game last year, and they had an interim coach take over, and they went through the season, and Coach Powell did a lot of the offense as the head coach, and they didn't score many points. They played people close because they were good and athletic on defense.
Right.
But, so they went through that whole deal last year. Well, In the offseason, they hire Coach Woodrow Lowe, who a good friend of mine, Carter, had actually played on one of his 7-on-7 teams that he had kind of put together out of the Memphis area. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. He was at Bolivar, won there, went to Lausanne in Memphis. And then he was the system-wide AD and football coach at Fayette Ware before he moved to Northside, and had kind of gotten Fayette Ware in where they were competitive and making playoffs and winning in that Western region over there at 4A. So before he left there. So, you know, Coach Lowe has been around a long time, really good coach, and have brought him in. And you know, I think he's doing good things there at Northside. Beat Lexington, you know, last week. I don't think they're all the way back to where they were when Coach Val was there for years. And, you know, that's a big thing for a program, consistency and coaching and a coach that's there for a while and establishing a program. And Northside still certainly has great athletes, as you could see on the field last night.
So it's easier for you now than it was your first year as a head coach at Hardin County?
I don't know if it's easier. I mean, there's more of an established program. Well, I'll say that, and I hope through experience you try to get a little bit better.
There's not as much question marks now, or should be, you know, with the consistency, your dates and times and the way you set your programs up. It's got to be a lot easier than having a whole new administration come in.
It is. I mean, it's more consistency for the players involved in the program and the expectations and the standards that are set. So, you know, I think certainly if you have stability, it helps.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll dive into the game last night as the Tigers defeated Northside 38-7. We'll talk about some of the action last night. Also, a little bit later on, what's ahead and some scores from the region. So, we'll be back right after this quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll and Coach Matthew Smith as we're talking Tiger football as they defeated Northside last night 38-7, and we're talking with Coach Matthew Smith. And Matthew, going into that game last night, we had talked earlier that we're midway through the season now, fifth game of the year. The previous four we had talked about defensively, what your offense has seen. They've seen just about every look that they could possibly see. Last night was no different. They tried – it looked a little bit like they tried to kind of imitate South Gibson a little bit with showing you one look, dropping out, or vice versa.
Yeah, they were very multiple last night defensively. And the thing going into, they had run 3-4 – too high every snap of every film that we had. We had three games and a scrimmage on them. They'd been in the same defense every snap of that.
They weren't too high, hardly any at all last night.
None. And they had gone to a four-man front up front. So, yeah, I mean, our kids had to adjust on the fly last night. And you know, it speaks to, again, experience and being able to adjust and see things out there on the field from a lot of different positions. You know, center does a lot up front. Wade Van Hoos made a lot of the calls and got us in the right looks in the run game last night as far as calling our combos out and how we're doubling that. And then Carter with the protections and then seeing the coverage as well.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point. I was going to ask Kurt last night, either on the air or on the way home, you know, we talk about the game, kind of rehash everything that we saw and stuff. But that brings up my point about you saw something different. Every game that we play in, you say, just like you just did, they've done this every game. They've played this style of defense. But then when we play them, they start changing up. Is that just because we're so good running the ball, passing the ball? What are they trying to do? Are they just trying to pick their poison or what they want to stop and just hope that we're off somewhere, you know, offensively in the passing game or the running game?
Well, they're trying to create confusion and you know, not show you something that you've planned for throughout the week. And last night they were doing trying to take the RPO game away, showing tight outside backers, buzzing them out quick because we've thrown quite a few of the RPOs and trying to bait Carter into throwing some of those when he really didn't have them. So they were trying to give false reads, disguising coverages. They did jump in their 3-4 some, but as I said, they showed a lot, especially on first down, to H-back formations, which are run formations and play action formations for us. They showed a lot of single high look, try to get an extra guy down in the box to help.
Yeah,
with the run
I mean
game.
After you had success running, they added players in the box.
And up front, and we knew this going in, they were going to be hard to move their defensive lineman. I mean, nose guard was 300 plus, and you know, he's going to be hard to get him going backwards very much. So, they had a lot of talent there at the defensive line. So.
Well, this kind of answers itself, but you were talking, when we were at break about Carter, the advantage of having a senior quarterback and being able to study and read all the things that are coming at him and be, I'm sure he don't get them right all the time, but you know, if he gets them right 95% of the time, we're going to be successful.
Well, you know, as you progress in the game, it kind of slows down for you. And I think it slowed down for him this year. And we talked, you know, all week, Northside with those big defensive linemen did not have great pass rush like they've had in previous years. And they did try to blitz him. We hadn't seen any blitzes on film. They did try to blitz him some last night. But we did a good job of picking that up in the protection scheme and for the most part. And he had an opportunity to get the ball out. But talked about, you know, hey, be patient, let it unfold for you. When we put our guys out there, and he was patient in the pocket and took advantage of some of the things that we were able to take advantage of.
Well, yeah, I mean, every aspect of this team, to me, looks like every position has improved over last year. And I know that's what your goal is. And I know you do have a lot of seniors. But, for example, Carter was a good quarterback last year. He was way above average as a junior. But I'm not sure that he's not the most improved part of the offense. And he was already good. I mean, he's playing at a level that we don't get to see a lot. I mean, the touch that he had that first game against the executives.
NBA.
Yeah, we love saying that you played a group of executives. But in that first game, he probably threw the ball close to 20 times, and he didn't throw an uncatchable ball in that first game. And last night, I think he only threw two balls in that game last night that were not catchable. And he's doing it under duress. It just fascinates me. And I know his size is an advantage because he can see things that a lot of a 5'10 quarterback can't see. But his reads and his decision-making and placement of the ball, I mean, it's next-level quarterback play. And then your running back position, I mean, was solid last year. And those two guys are they're a dynamic duo. I mean, you got one running that can slither between the tackles and the other one can get the edge. And it's – I mean, your offensive line is giving you quarterback time to throw. I mean, all of that is pretty impressive stuff. I mean, to go watch a high school game and compare us to the team that we just played. And they rely on athleticism. They rely on getting that one guy they've got that can take it to the house and try to find ways to get him open. We don't have to do that. We got multiple options, and we can run when we run. You were probably in somewhere close to 7 or 8, third and long. And I'm talking about 3rd and 12, 3rd and 10, 3rd. We converted every one of them. I mean, it's just it's really fun to watch.
Well, we practice those situations and you know, have plays that we like for third downs. And I think, you know, when you're a balanced offense, when you are pretty close to balanced in what you do, throwing the ball, running the ball, and can do it pretty effectively, it helps you to get out of those situations where it may be 3rd, 10 plus, you know, we were certainly able to make some big plays in those situations and last night. And some of it, you know, I think in the game, got to cut the penalties down. Last night we had far too many penalties there. Some of them may not have been by our own causing, but we had some penalties there that we need to cut down. And, you know, another thing from last night, we need to finish the game better and be able to run the clock out there offensively. But overall, you know, for our first road game, going through that whole process and after 4 games at home, and, you know, I talked to him. I said, we've got great things that we do at home, from the Tiger Walk to the tunnel, the smoke, the band forming the tee, the music and warm-ups, you know, all those great things that are outside circumstances that you know, help you be motivated to play football at Jim Carroll Stadium. And you don't have those things on the road. But if you really want to be a great football team, you got to win in white, when we got the white jerseys on. And I thought our team showed a lot of grit last night, a lot of character, and played pretty well in a big, big district game on the road.
Yeah, and we also talked defensively. And I have been so impressed, you know, we didn't know exactly. We lost a lot of players on defense. We've talked about that. But they just seem to be getting better and better. And I remember you talking last week about your linebackers and how well they played in the game against East. And their confidence, speed. Last night, there were some licks that we heard up in the press box a couple of times. You know, we were a little bit closer to the field than we normally are. But, I mean – at one point there toward the end of the first half, Northside looked like, okay, we've had enough. It was good for them to go to break at that point.
Well, I think, you know, defensively, I see improvement in us week after week defensively. And we had some great keys. You know, Coach Randall did a great job in breaking them down, and we had some great keys. But – we've had great keys in the past, and you got to be mentally locked in, focused to execute and read those keys. And I thought our linebackers last night did a great job. It starts in the middle for us defensively with Adam and Tayshawn playing right. Our interior, and Tayshawn continues to improve.
He sure does.
You see his name in the stat sheet more and more week after week, and Adam continues to play at a very high level. I thought our defensive ends made some plays last night, you know, sacks and tackles for loss, and they've been active. But our linebackers are continuing to improve every week. You know, Caleb Goheen, big hit last night on a counter play there that you could hear throughout the stadium. And Caleb Franks continues to play better. Parker Gerald's. You know, Sam Tanner on the outside got outflanked one time, but that was about the only time that he got outflanked and adjusted the speed. And Northside certainly had speed. You know, 25 and 19 guys that went to the house, you know, on Lexington 3 times, big plays on them. And I thought we contained those guys pretty well last
night.
Yeah,
and we got a couple of turnovers. That's what y'all preach, I'm sure. We got to get turnovers, you know. And then last night, though, we were talking about, you know, they had a third and long. It seemed to be a theme last night for both teams. They were in third, not like 3rd and 7s. It was 3rd and 12s and 15s and 25s.
Well, and Northside did a really good job against us on first down.
Yeah.
We were in a lot of 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8, you know, and being able to overcome some of those, and they weren't.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, last night I know they had a third and long. They got it. And Kurt brought it out, our corner over there, Dace Cummings, that has played some really good football for you since Blankenship got injured. You brought him in. And he got caught looking inside, and kind of the receiver got by him. Anyway, a couple of plays later, they try to go back at him again. He gets an interception. You know, he knew what he did, made the adjustment in his own mind. He's on the opposite side of where y'all are. Y'all weren't coaching him up over there at that point. But he made the adjustment like you're talking about, and that didn't happen again. We got a turnover.
Well, I've been extremely pleased with Dace and his performance this year, and really started in the summer, 7-on-7 stuff, and just kind of, you know, watching him develop. And you know, he'd had a good off season, but he hadn't played a lot for us as, you know, a sophomore, junior, and just kept making plays in 7-on-7. And we're like, golly, Dace is, you know, he's getting there. And he's played well for us, you know, on the one he got beat on the third down. We had preached to him all week. Slant was their big route out there that they like to go to on third down. They love to throw the slant to the outside receiver. And he had taken coaching, and he kind of jumped inside a little bit and just lost vision on the receiver. And that's why he got beat on that one, thinking, you know, that slant was the big one. But comes back, like you say, a play or two later and makes a big interception there to stop the drive.
Yeah, I mean, we're just – it's just impressive. And you kicked the field goal last night. I really thought you'd go for it there. You know, you've got kind of a history of using that fourth down to your advantage. But worked out, and it was good to see Foster kick a field goal. That just gives him a little bit more confidence.
Well, you know, got it down there inside the 5-yard line, right at the 5-yard line, and kind of stalled out and called the mesh concept play, and had it if we just kind of had squatted the sit route and ran it about 2 yards deeper. It was going to come open, but didn't get there, and he kind of got jammed up on a guy that was running with the underneath mesh, so we had to kind of throw it back to the left side there, and Ryan went able to get in. But, you know, we'd had that long drive, just felt like we needed to get points out of it, and it's good to see Nolan come in and hit that field goal.
Well, and there comes times you're going to need that experience of kicking a field goal somewhere down the line. It's always good to know that you made your last one.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a time out. We're talking with Coach Matthew Smith. We'll be back in a minute, and we'll look at the scoring plays from last night and also tell you what's ahead. It's a big week for Hardin County High School and a big Friday night ahead. All that's coming your way right here on Sports Talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll talking with Coach Matthew Smith. And Matthew, some big plays last night, especially in the first half. And of course, we got in the running clock, and that's a different topic for Kurt. We'll discuss that more off there. But you don't like the running clock?
No, I don't have a problem with running clock.
Well, sound like you did.
I have a problem with the teams that we're playing can't keep up with us.
Well, that's a good problem to have. Matthew, we get the ball, win the toss. You elected to put your offense on the field first, and we go 64 yards on four plays, and then Jacob Saunders takes one to the house, 35-yard touchdown run right up the gut. We're on top real quick, 7-0.
Yeah, you know, good cutback by Jake, power play there. And as we talked about earlier, they were buzzing the outside backer to take the RPO away. And when he made the cut there, nobody there, and took it to the house. And you know, Jake's got great vision. He's designed, again, to go to the left, and he sees the cutback. Right. Boom, gone.
He's pretty amazing, too. Last night I looked at Kendall, and he ran kind of the stretch, played to the edge, and it was – they had guys there, And he had about a 2 foot window. It looked like he was going to, you know, try to get the boundary and turn it up. But he planted and went between two of their guys. He planted that right foot and cut it upfield between those two guys. And there wasn't enough room. You couldn't have slipped a piece of paper between them. And neither one of them, his acceleration is what's fascinating to me, because once he gets north and south, boy, he's got jets.
Yeah, he's got special ability to stick the foot in the ground and make cuts and see things. And, you know, we've talked, Coach Rozier and I have talked about that for years and years. When you got a back, and Cam's got some of that too.
Yeah,
that
he does.
He can do. And when you got backs like that, boy, it makes, because you don't have to hold the blocks as long. And if you mess something up, they get a run through or something, they can make a guy miss and not get you a negative play.
Well, and that's one of the things, too, about Saunders that I've thought about all year is he's got kind of an upright running style. But this year I've seen him, when he gets needing that extra yard, he's getting those pads down over his knees and, you know, and – it looks like everybody, when he runs the ball, if he gets initially through the line of scrimmage, from that point on, defense, they're catching him. They're not tackling him. They're catching him, either from the side or from behind, because he's just turned into a really good running back, just like Cam. Cam, lots of times last night when there wasn't anything, you know, between the tackles, and – we always kind of look at bouncing it outside as being a negative because it's just they're going to run you out. But he's got the speed to get the corner, and when he goes north and south now, he's low.
Well, and what Northside was doing, and they've done this for years, Coach Hampton over there, who's still over there and does some of their defensive stuff, they really, really come down in hard with their ends to try to make you bounce. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Cam, on some of those plays that were nothing there on the inside, and was able to bounce and use his speed to, you know, 10, 12-yard gains, right. You're looking at. So did a nice job there.
Well, you know, when we played, you had a designed hole, and you had to run through that hole whether there was anybody there or not. I would have loved to have the option to, you know, back when we played, go, well, go to your left if you want to. Go to what you see.
Yeah, we give them an aiming point, and then they either work out or cut off that aiming
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I mean, they've got freedom.
Point, so.
We get a turnover. Carter Pig gets a fumble, our first turnover of the game. We take the ball back. We go 42 yards, six plays, and Carter goes in from 4 yards out on a run, dives on top of everybody, and ends up.
Yeah, I thought he killed London. Kill.
got London real good. Yeah,
right. Knocked him out of breath. He'll have to, buy him some breakfast or something this
morning. Yeah, I reckon that was discussed.
off me, big galoot.
But Reed played down there, and we hopped in our 21, a heavier personnel, brought Adam in at the tight end. They had a hard time adjusting and lining up. They're running a guy across, and Carter saw that, so he pulled it on the backside and was able to get in for that score.
Defense forces Northside to punt, and then we come back with another drive of 65 yards. These are all unofficial, by the way. 7 plays, and then a 6-yard touchdown run by Cam Heyman.
Yeah, a good hard run down inside there, and I thought Cam did twice in the red zone of, you know, big interior front by Northside, but hey, more like what you're talking about. There's the hole. We've created a little dent in the line of scrimmage. I'm going to lower my pads, and right. I'm going to go get it. And he did a nice job.
Well, we've said that all year about it. Is he's strong.
Cam is really, really strong. Strong numbers in the weight room, and one of the stronger skill kids that we've had. Probably in the history of the program, and did a nice job of using his strength.
Well, we force another punt, and then you're talking about finishing the game or finishing halves, and this is indicative of that. We go on an 14 play drive, 83 yards, and then an 8-yard touchdown strike from Carter to Wyke.
Yeah, I thought we did a real nice job in 2 minute there, had some timeouts to work with. But we're able to pick up, some third downs and made some plays there in the passing game and executed a really good two-minute drive to get that score right before halftime.
And we don't say enough about him, and you mentioned him, Wyke. Mario, I think that's what they call him, Mario. His name.
Marion is his name. But
they call him Mario. He's been a breath of fresh air out there when you were looking for, you know, hey, we got some receivers that we lost. We got to find somebody, and he's been really good for you.
We were certainly glad to get him back in the program. You know, he played in the middle school and a good receiver. Did not play his freshman year, and, you know, we recruited him hard to come back out, and he had a good summer. And, you know, you see him getting more and more confident on the field week after week. You know, I think he had three catches last night, caught a screen, and got some positive yardage with that. Big in the two-minute, caught a little out route out there, and then caught the touchdown there to finish.
Well, the touchdown play, did he adjust his route at the end of the route in the end zone to – or was that a designed route? Because it looked like he was running kind of a corner route, but then he was coming back to the middle.
It was the play that we run quite a bit down there. The we call it X-Man's mesh concept play, and he's got, if it was in the field, he's got the post on that. If we're in the red zone, we tell him to run the back line. But he did a nice job of outside releasing corner there. Corner kind of lost vision on him, and then he broke it into the back line. And
he just turned him completely around.
Carter came back to him really about his fourth read in the progression and found him there wide open, threw a good ball, good catch.
Well, that was another deal. That was Carter was on a scramble drill on that play, wasn't he? Didn't he get flushed to the right and make that throw on the run?
No, he had time in the pocket there. They had only brought three. They jumped in their three-man front, only brought three. So he had time there, and you can watch him on film go through the progression. The first one we look at is the tailback wheel to see if we got it, make sure that they covered that. Comes off it, goes to the sit, to the mesh, and then boom, came back to it.
Well, so, what play am I talking about? He got flushed. And, I mean, he had a guy pretty much wrapping him up when he released the ball. And I think he may have thrown that to Rose on that play. But those are things that we talked about last year that, you know, the improvement that he's shown has been his throwing on the move is a lot better than it was. And his actual movement is better than it was. I mean, it's just more natural to him right now than the way it looked last year.
Well, you know, he's matured a little bit in the offseason. It takes – you know, a lot of time, and I've seen this in the history of our program, and you got kids that are taller, lankier kids. It takes them more time to grow into their body, and Carter has certainly grown into his body as a senior and can move a little more fluidly. And he worked really hard on throughout the offseason of being able to throw on the run and throw with movement and seeing some of those things pay off.
They get their first score coming out of the third quarter. We were working on squeal kicks last night. They get the bounce and get a good return.
That
and then,
made Kirk mad up there, by the way, the squeal kicks.
No, we knew what we were doing last night. Yeah, he did a really good job of finding the open spots and getting the bounces.
I just love giving the opposing team the 40-yard line to start on. It'd be better to kick it out of bounds.
Well, they got a good return on this.
They make you
kick
it over in high school football for doing that. And my question to you, would you love giving them touchdowns?
They got one
you
play.
Giving up a touchdown when you kicked it deep this year.
We don't kick it deep, real deep. One, they give a 27-yard touchdown run on the very first play coming out of the halftime.
Yeah, not the way we want to come out of halftime, and starts with the coverage. That particular one just happened to take, you know, football bounces funny ways, and that one bounced straight to the returner, and he caught her on the run, and we kind of, you know, we had guys there unblocked, we kind of ran by it, and we're not able to make the play. It was a good hustle by Jack Gray to save the touchdown on the kick coverage, and then there on the first play, they get a cutback run, really had it defended pretty well to the sides. And we've talked about it before on the show that, you know, the cutback is, to me, the most dangerous thing in football. And when we're playing defense, and they did a nice job of seeing it and making a good run there.
Well, we give them a little hope, and they cut it to 3 scores, but then we go on another long drive, 14-play drive, 74 yards, capped off by a 24-yard field goal. Nolan Foster hits it, and we go up 31-7.
Yeah, really pleased with that drive. After they get a little momentum there coming out after halftime and get the score that quick, really proud of our offense for being able to execute that drive. Would certainly like to have finished it with a touchdown, but it was good to get points down there, and good job by Nolan kicking the field goal.
Then we get our second turnover. Dace Cummings comes back with an interception. Tigers take over, going on 4-play drive, 60 yards, and capped off the scoring with a 3-yard touchdown run by Heyman. And that's the way it ends, 38-7 last night.
Yeah, and, you know, again, proud of our team. A big district game. Both of us were 1-0 in the district coming in, and it allows us, as we talk about, you know, every district game's a championship game, because if you want to control your own destiny at the end, you got to win those, and it allows us to continue to have control of our own destiny in the district.
Scores from last night around the region. One shocker in there. First one, I see Chester County defeated Southside 27-0. South Gibson 28, USJ 6. And MBA, our opening opponent to start 2023 season, 24, Lexington 20.
Yeah, you know, I thought MBA, of course, we called them very first week early on, but they had a lot of good skilled kids and did a lot of good things. And I think they're probably a team that's improved as the year has gone on, and certainly went into Lexington last night and got the win.
Next week is a big week, as always, for the students and the athletes at Hardin County High School. It's homecoming week as we get into week 6, Pure Academy coming into town. So you got a big week of, first of all, getting ready for a football team that we haven't played ever, and second of all, keeping – your focus, your team's focus on what's at hand with all the distractions of homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great week. We got a lot of great traditions here at Hardin County that we've had for a long, long time, and in homecoming week. But, you know, and I talked to the kids even in the locker room last night. You know, our job is the game, and we've got Pure Academy coming in here. Not a lot of people know much about them. They're a team out of Memphis. They're going to be extremely athletic. You know, last year, breaking them down, we didn't get to play the game there at the end of the year, but they looked really good on film. And, you know, their record is not going to be great because they play probably one of the toughest schedules in maybe the Southeast, because they go play anybody, any game that they can find. And we certainly have them on the schedule. We played Haywood 28-21 first game of the year, so they're going to be a good athletic football team, and it will take all our focus this week to be on them and get ready for the game.
What is Pure Academy actually? Is it a like a private school or home school? I've heard several different things.
It's a place in Memphis where they bring in homeschool kids that are homeschooled to play. And I don't know exactly how they're funded, but they have, you know, nice equipment, nice buses that we see on film that they show up in, and they're well funded, and they've got guys that have played there that play in the pros. I mean, you know, so they put out major college recruits, and they certainly will be a good football team.
They got it's sort of like an organization all over the country, right? I mean, it's not just in Memphis. Do they have
another? I don't know that 100% for sure. So, but yeah, all I know is that they're a place where homeschool kids in Memphis can go and be a part of a team, football team.
Get a chance to compete.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, that'll be next week. Kickoff time is at 7 p.m. Of course, we'll be there with the Tiger tailgate party at 5. The Tiger walk, 5:55. And then I'm sure the homecoming activity is around 5:30.
Usually about 5:20, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around there. So it'll be a big night for Hardin County High School, the students and the athletes. So get there early, and we'll be on the air at 6:30 with a pregame show, and then we'll have the kickoff at 7 p.m. That's coming up next Friday right here at Hardin County High School, Jim Carroll Stadium in the Jungle. It's Pure Academy comes in. Matthew, congratulations on the win last night and staying undefeated through the halfway point of the season, and a lot of football left.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look at the SEC schedule, UT in Florida. Me and Kirk kind of talk about it and what we expect this afternoon. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm glad he left. He's trying to get in my wallet.
Yeah, you need to fund an indoor facility.
Yeah.
And you can get the artificial turf you've always wanted.
Yeah.
And
well, it's pretty.
And then and then put a theater in there for them to watch movies before the games, you know, kind of like Hoover.
Well, we would watch them. We would make them watch us on YouTube during the ball games. Same thing.
Yeah.
I will say this.
That'd be a winning solution.
I will say this. I know a lot of places are getting away from turf. And, you know, they had a new kind of turf over at Nissan Stadium last week. They were talking about like coconut shells and stuff ground up. But this is a thing that a lot of people probably don't know about this coaching staff. Yes, they have coaching responsibilities to get kids ready each and every week. And they do that at a high level, and they're there. I mean, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for them. It's a sacrifice for their families. A lot of these coaches are young with young families, and I don't know that they're appreciated enough of what it takes to get to Friday night when you finally get under the lights and get to play. But my point is, what people don't see, or maybe you do see, but things that we know. Take Coach Smith, for example. He's the AD. He's also the head football coach. He's out there on a mower, mowing the grass, making sure the field is nice, taking care of it and around it, and all the things that are not the glory things that people don't see each and every day. But if you drive by the high school after practice in the afternoons, you might see, you know, the coaches out there mowing or painting the field, and they don't hire people to do stuff like that.
Picking towels up in the locker room.
Picking towels up in the locker room, stuff like that. And you know,
I'll tell you what though, when we talked about this, and it's the truth, and I don't care, you know, what level you're looking at, you know, pro, college, high school, is programs win football games. You have to have somebody that can establish a program that encompasses all these things you're talking about, mm-hmm. from mowing the field to having your off-season workouts. You know, all these sports now in high school have followed colleges, and they got weight programs and goals that they set for all the players. And like he said today, you know, he said there's expectations and standards that we go by now. That's all part of the program. And if you don't have an established program, you're not ever going to have a consistently competitive team. And I know everybody has a, you know, their football program, but I'm talking about an organized,
well-run machine.
And programs bring in players. Like somebody that comes to Hardin County, moves to Hardin County, and they look at Hardin County's record, and they look at the enthusiasm around the program by the community and how well it's set up. People in any of these programs up here in the athletic department can talk to a parent and say, this is the way this works. We'll do this in this month. We'll do this next month. And then we'll set this up. And, you know, it's not like you can go, we're pretty good.
Yeah. It's in every, you know, aspect of it. It's not just football. I mean, you got some really good programs and some established winning in track and field and cross country, volleyballs. You know,
You may have a dynamic coach that is outstanding offensive coordinator. I mean, but he has no organizational skills. He's got no leadership skills. He just can read a defense.
Right.
And he'd make a great offensive coordinator. But he's never going to be able to establish that program.
Yeah.
To where it'd be competitive. And it's all about respect. And right now, we have trouble getting a schedule because everybody respects us so much that a lot of them won't even play us.
Yeah, we don't know if we want to come down there or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And they know if they play Hardin County that they're going to be in a ball game.
Yeah.
And this has been going on now for years.
Yeah.
And it's really a luxury because I can remember some of those years where, you know, we won one or two games and –
we were homecoming.
If we only won one or two games right now, everybody in this town would pass out going, yeah, what the heck has happened? And that's because they've got a really well-run established program.
That's what I was thinking about, the way that they've set it up on the football side. And then I go back to baseball when they hired Coach Harville and him coming in and the adjustments that he made in raising money and turning – that baseball field into not just where they play baseball, but
a complex.
It's really nice out there. If you haven't been out there, I mean, big time scoreboard now. Got the wall out there. I mean, the field looks great. He's established what he likes. I mean, you know, when they go to practice, everybody dresses the same. I mean, you know, you're building a program, and
right,
this is what we expect.
Right.
Basketball is like that now, where we've got two young coaches that are trying to make their mark. And I hear really good things over the summer about our basketball teams and our basketball program and how hard they're working. And the results are going to be there, you know, when we get into basketball season here in a few months. They got a lot of really good things going on out there, and softball as well. You know, Chuck did a really good job there. Now we've got a new coach with Coach Axline, Kristen Lackey. You know, she played there, and so she's going to get her opportunity. And so there's a lot of exciting things going on around Hardin County High School. And, you know, every now and then, if you'll ride around, you might see the dean of students out there mowing and weed eating out there at the high school or picking up trash. Maybe. If it's not hot. But he's done an outstanding job, too. But, I mean, that's what it takes to become winners and you know, take those next steps. Let's move on. SEC schedule today. 11 a.m. game, LSU at Mississippi State. Kansas State at Missouri. 2:30, South Carolina at Georgia. That's a big game there. Alabama at South Florida. The interesting thing about Alabama at South Florida is the coach at South Florida was the offensive coordinator at UT last year.
Yeah,
and you know what they did to him. To Alabama's defensive backfield, torched them. I don't know if they got the same players, but they've scored a bunch of points in their first couple of games. So we'll see.
He can coach.
He can coach. That's right. 3 o'clock, Louisiana Monroe at Texas A&M. 6, Samford at Auburn. 6:30, Georgia Tech at Ole Miss, BYU at Arkansas, and then a couple of games going on, Vandy at UNLV, Akron at Kentucky, and then our game here at 6, Tennessee at Florida. Tennessee has been bet down to a 5.5-point favorite now.
Yeah, it's Tennessee's game last week against Austin Peay. Austin Peay had a good plan and played them, you know, a solid ball game. And it also created a lot of doubt in
it created some in me in
this team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still early in the year. You don't really know how all this is going to fit. And a lot of speculation over this game. But, yeah, I mean, Tennessee's going to have to play better than they did last week.
Well, Well, they're going into the Swamp. That's a tough place to play. It is at night. It's a little bit easier at night, I think, than being there and that humidity and stuff, being an early game, afternoon game. But I think the doubt is on both sides. Is that quarterback play? Of course, Joe Milton for us, and then what is it, Graham?
Somebody said this is one of the rare times that you talk about Tennessee football game, and it may come down to the best defense.
Yeah.
Instead of the
But offense. That tells me that it could be a high-flying game and a high-scoring game. When they start talking about, you know, it's going to be low scoring stuff like that, I don't know. I was just kind of concerned, and it doesn't matter what I think really, but I was concerned from my fandom that we didn't go down the field a lot last week. We had some opportunities listening to Coach Heupel's press conference. There was opportunities there, and for whatever reason, we didn't see those opportunities or take them over the middle of the field. We started just going side to side and letting our wide receivers make plays.
It goes back to you were talking about the talent on the team. We were more talented. So you should be able to run basic stuff and execute and let your talent beat their talent. And that's kind of what I think when they did try to throw downfield earlier in the game, and they were unsuccessful doing it. Milton was having trouble, you know, hitting his receivers. They weren't on the same page. And I think the coaches said, okay, let's get this win and go basic and regroup for next week.
Well, you've coached a coach at the junior pro level.
So that really gives you a lot of insight.
If your quarterback
Let me tell you how good Chad Jones was at quarterback.
If your quarterback struggles today in the first half, do you bring in the freshman?
I don't think they have any hesitation if it was to come to that to do it. I mean, the objects win the game, and I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they'll leave a quarterback in there that's not winning or is not playing well. I think they would bring Nico in if they needed to, or if they felt like they needed to.
They don't want to, I'm sure, but they've got another quarterback too there that. Really, they really don't want to play him either. But, you know, let's just hope he has a good game. It should be a good game.
Well, that's like all these teams. Look at Alabama. They've
made a change already.
Yeah, they benched their quarterback from last week, Milrow, and they're bringing in the Notre Dame transfer. And then you had Ty Simpson, who was from McKenzie, I think.
Martin Westview.
Martin.
Yeah.
And – he's on scholarship down there now, and he was five-star, you know, coming out of high school. Tennessee really wanted him. And so they're in that quarterback rotation too, and that's always a precarious place to be when you don't have that – you know who your number one is.
Yeah. Well, LSU's going through the same thing. I mean, you know, you got Daniels that he was highly rated to start the season – didn't play very well in the opener, and now they're at Mississippi State. He didn't have a good game. They're already talking about, well, you know, the other guy's better. The other guy's always better, though.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing that's been impressive, because I didn't know anything about him, was that Florida State quarterback.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that Johnny Manziel he's unorthodox. You know, you think you got him, he got goodwill, throws off balance. You know, he just kind of finds a way to win, and like he did in that opening game. And it's going to be kind of fun to watch his progression as the year goes on and see how well Florida State plays, because they jumped all the way up to 4 or 5 in the ranking. You know, Hardin County's ranked number 5 in the state, as was yesterday.
Yeah, they were ranked.
And I don't know how they do that when you've got 6 different classes of football.
Well, I think it's just in 4A.
Oh, we're fifth in 4A. Only.
Right, yeah, 4A.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Pearl Cone at the top, and then a couple of teams from East Tennessee, and then us.
Yeah. Number five in the state's pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean,
respect factor we talked about.
I mean, like you said, when you're, as you put it, run ruling people and putting up 30-plus a game.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, the squib kicks. Y'all were giving me a hard time about that. But Nolan Foster, he's got more experience on kickoffs than anybody in the state because he's getting to do it about six times a game.
Yeah, and then plus the field goals that he's having to kick, you know, with extra points.
And to ice his leg after a football game.
Exactly. But a big win last night for the Tigers. Homecoming next week, Pure Academy in town. And we'll have all the action for you right here on 93.5 FM starting at 6:30. And then get out early as the Tiger tailgate party at 5. Tiger walk 5:55. All the festivities of homecoming going on around 5:20. So we expect a big crowd out there. But if you can't make it out, we'll be your eyes and ears right here on 93.5 FM and our YouTube channel, Slice 93. So that'll do it for us on this Saturday morning. And we hope you have a great rest of your Saturday. It's a big football Saturday. If you love football, it's a good day to stay in a lot of the good games later on. And so I know me and Kirk, for us, 6 o'clock's a big start time for us. But anyway, I wanted to thank Coach Matthew Smith for coming in and also Kristen over there at the station keeping us going. And we'll see you next week right here at 9 o'clock for Sports Talk. So for now, have a great Saturday. Go Tigers and go Vols. Beat the Gators. Hate the Gators today. Hate them all. We'll see you next week, 9 a.m. for Sports Talk.